We're going to start in 2 Kings. You can go there, okay, if you want, your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 6. I was thinking, since it's Father's Day, of course, God is our Father. Very interesting. In the Old Testament, God was not called their Father. There's only, I think, maybe 6 or 7. I looked up the 1,000 places that the Bible says Father. In the Old Testament, though, almost every reference is either a prophecy of something in the future or talking about David or Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they did not know God as a father. We're going to look at that and see the contrast with the coming of Jesus Christ. But before we get into that, I was also thinking about earthly fathers and what an attack there has been in our society on fatherhood. It's not even subtle anymore. There's all the transgender stuff, the fluidity, what do they call it? Gender fluidity or something. There's the sitcoms that we watch where fathers are bumbling idiots and where the wife runs the home. And quite frankly, if a man doesn't stand up for God's word, of course the woman's going to run the home. Any smart woman would. But the Bible says the man's to be the head of the household in a Christian family with the proper arrangement. You know, it's only as believers from what God says that men have dignity and women have dignity. In the world, you're not going to find it. But with God and his word, there's the beauty of a woman. There's the beauty of a man standing on God's word and doing that which God's word says for them to do. The world's going to come up with worse and worse things and more stupidity. You know, what's under attack is the family. One thing that one very popular social movement today is trying to erode is the family unit. And you wouldn't think of it by the name of that organization, but that's the thing that they're attacking, the family unit, the husband, the wife, and the children. And instead, they're looking for society to raise your children for you. You want that to happen?
No.
Well, that's what's in the works. So as believers, we have a tremendous respect for men who stand on God's word. A tremendous respect and love for women who stand on God's word. For those of us who say what the word of God says, no matter what public opinion. And I don't care about public opinion. Either God's word is right or we go with the world. We'll go with the world and we're stuck with all the problems that the world has been plagued with ever since the fall of man. Go with God's word and we have the beauty, the dignity of people of God. And that's who you are, and that's what we uphold. So I'm very thankful for you who stand on God's word as fathers and mothers, for what you do in raising your children with God's word. It will make a difference in this world. 2 Kings chapter 6. In the Old Testament, they prayed to God, of course. We're going to look at a couple of places where they prayed. And what they said, what they called God. We're going to read a few of these. The first one is in 2 Kings 6 and in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Father. Is that what it says?
No.
It says Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes. Elisha prayed, Lord. In the Old Testament, one of the names for God was Lord. You know, different from English, or I should say our culture. In the culture of the Bible, people use names in a very unique way. One way that a name was used, it was used to designate a characteristic of a person. Sometimes a name was used to commemorate an event. Somebody might name their child Easter, you know, or something like that, because they like Easter. Somebody may name their child Happy, like Joseph named his son Forget. He named his son Forget because, that's what it means in English, because it says he forgot all of the bad things that happened to him because of how God blessed him. Well, God uses names to refer to himself in unique ways. And this one that's used here is the word Jehovah, and it shows God in relation to that which he's created. And that's the closest that they had to God in the Old Testament. Jehovah, this relationship that God had, and it was a beautiful, wonderful relationship. But it wasn't what came with Jesus Christ that we'll see very starkly in the scriptures, where he was the first to say, God, my Father. God, my Father. Really stark difference. You look at 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19. Of course, there's many, many of these. I just picked a few. Tried to pick a few in the same center part of the Bible to make it easy on you. You're welcome. 19:15. And these are great people of the Bible. Elisha really knew God, didn't he? He did some major, major things. Look at this one, Hezekiah, verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel. Did he call him Father? No. The closeness that he had was, O Lord, God of Israel. O Lord, God was their Lord. It was a beautiful relationship, but not as close as what Jesus Christ made available. And let's go to chapter 20. Let's just look at another one here. Verses 2 and 3, we're going to read. Chapter 20, verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You can read the record. It was about when he was going to die, and then he got healed. But he said, O Lord, O Jehovah. And that was a close relationship with God. Look at John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. The Old Testament is all looking forward to that which was fulfilled in the New. You cannot understand the Old Testament unless you look at the New Testament where it was fulfilled. Why would they have all these sacrifices? Why did God tell them to do this and that? Not because God just was making stuff up, but it's all looking forward to that which came, the Savior, the Redeemer, and of course, what's coming in the future. And we live in a very unique time, God kept secret, a time that God kept secret because of the incredible relationship that we can have with him. But John chapter 1, look at verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the what?
Father.
The Father, he hath declared him. It says that the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, was in the bosom of the Father. The bosom of the Father is just, you know, close. You know, think of a mother holding the baby. He's in the bosom of the Father. That great care, that great concern, that great love. He declared him. He declared God, God the Father. Not just God the Lord. Not just God the Creator. Not just God the Lord of the host. Great power. But God the Father. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 10. Those of us who are fathers have a beautiful way to look at how to act, because God tells us how to act. God shows us what we should and how we should do what we do as our job as fathers. But always looking to he that is the true Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example of how to treat his children. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, 10:21, it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O what?
Father,
I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. See, he's still the Lord of heaven and earth. He's still the great, powerful God. He's still the creator who uses all of his power to help his people. He's still that God who is to be respected, to be loved, who is separate, who is holy. But Jesus Christ revealed a relationship with his Father, God the Father. And that's the closeness of the relationship that we have in our administration. He said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. How did he refer to God? Father. Father. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is that tremendous record where Lazarus, Jesus' friend, is sick. He eventually dies before Jesus Christ gets there. And everybody says, Jesus, why weren't you here? If you had come, you would have taken care of it and he wouldn't have died. And then Jesus gets the revelation from God to raise him from the dead. And look at how he addresses God here. But we're going to read a few verses here. 41 is where we're going to start. Then they took away the stone, okay? He said to them, remove the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. You see that? When we need the power of God in our life, do we just look at him as the great Almighty? Or do we think of that incredible relationship that we have with him? Our Father, our Father. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stood by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, Jesus had that very close family relationship with God. Who was it? His Father. 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. What did he do? He went to God, his Father, and he said, God, let's get this guy up from the dead. That's who we have, the one that has all the power, but he's not just a big almighty God who's a cold presence somewhere up there in the heavens, but rather a father to us. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. Many people in the religious world know God is powerful. They know God is loving, but wouldn't even dare go to him as a father. Wouldn't dare come crying and crawling up into his lap and saying, I got a problem down here. But you and I, we know our heavenly God and Father. We know how close he is to us. We know the characteristics that he has and how he loves and cares. And so we refer to him not as God Almighty, although he is, but to us, he's so much greater. He's a Father. Luke 23:34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Jesus here is on the cross. He's on the cross. He is dying for your salvation and mine. And he goes to God and he says, Father. There are those that say God forsook Jesus Christ when he was on the cross because he couldn't stand sin. Well, Jesus Christ was going to him and saying what? Father, Father. That's the relationship. What was he doing up there on the cross? He was doing the Father's will. He was doing what God wanted done so that you and I could have what we have today. Look at Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died. Right as he's dying, what does he do? He addresses God as what? Father, Father. That's the closeness of the relationship that Jesus Christ had. And he's the one that declared not just the great Almighty to the world, but he declared God as a Father. Something that was not the kind of way that people thought of God in the Old Testament. Now look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Jesus Christ instructed his disciples how to pray. And let's see how he told them to address God. Luke chapter 11. And verse 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say, our what? Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Not Lord Almighty, not God of hosts, but our Father. Our Father. That's the closeness of the relationship that Jesus Christ declared was possible to God's people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. I was thinking the other day, I was sitting in a teaching and they went to Matthew chapter 6. And I wondered, what percentage of teachings that I've heard has Matthew 6 in it? It's a pretty high percentage of areas of the scripture, right? We're going to read two verses here, so we're adding to the statistic. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you better than they? Your heavenly Father. He feeds those little chickadees. Your heavenly Father. This is what he's telling the disciples. It's your heavenly Father. You don't see that in the Old Testament. Here, as he's fulfilling the Old Testament, he's telling them of the relationship that they can have with God, your heavenly Father. Look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Well, that makes sense. Your heavenly Father. What kind of care does a father have for his child? The father is the one that's responsible to care for that family, responsible to take care of them, that their needs are met. Where does the earthly father go? To his heavenly Father for help. That's the relationship that God set up for the family. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus Christ is building to something really great. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Some fathers might, I guess. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Good Lord. If he then be, ye then being evil, thank you, Jesus. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that have? The Holy Spirit, that gift of spirit that makes us his children. How much more will he do that? Because this is God, the heavenly Father. John 16. John chapter 16. Here again, Jesus is explaining to his disciples. He's preparing his disciples for this relationship that they can have with their heavenly Father. Not just with God, not just the Creator, with their heavenly Father. John 16, verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow. That's because he said he was going to go away. Okay? Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. You know, up till then, they asked Jesus for everything, because Jesus was kind of the connection to the heavenly Father, right? When Jesus went to a place, they knew stuff happened because of his relationship with his heavenly Father. But Jesus says, you're not going to ask me. He says, you shall ask the Father in my name. And he'll give it you. You'll ask the Father, and he'll give it you. Verse 24. Hitherto, Have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the what? Of the Father. The Father, the one in his relationship with his children. 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will pray the Father for you. But look at what it says in verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you. The Father himself loves you. In the Old Testament, they would go to Elijah, Jeremiah, Moses, for that connection to God. Because these are men on whom the Spirit of God rested, right? Here he says, Jesus says, don't ask me to pray to God for you. He says, the Father loves you. The Father loves you. Not just God, the Father loves you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. Romans chapter 1. Here in the first epistle written to us, by the way, you can find this in all the epistles, this appellation, this way of referring to God. That's in verse 7, Romans 1, verse 7. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our what?
Father.
Our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We know God as a Father. We know God not just God that's great and big and mighty. We know God as our Father. Romans chapter 8. And here's one more to blow our minds. It's sad that through much of Christian religion, people still think of God as an institution, as a power, but not as one in a close filial relationship, not as one that runs to your very need when you have it, not as one that cares with a caring heart for you personally, like a father does with each of his children. That's the God that we have. It's the God that Jesus Christ declared, and it's the God that is our God in our time today. Did I tell you what verse? Which one do you think? Oh, never mind. It's 15. It's verse 15, all right? 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. The word adoption is that Greek word that means sonship, right? Placed as a son. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba is left in the Aramaic here. I don't know, maybe they didn't know what to do with it. There's only a few words that are left in Aramaic in the Greek New Testament. Here's one of them. Abba, Father. And what does that mean? Father, oh my Father. Paul says here by revelation that we address him. We cry to him as Father, oh my Father. Not as God, not as Almighty, but as Father. They would not think it possible. They would think that it was sacrilegious in the Old Testament to address God that way. Jesus Christ was the first to show that incredible close relationship that one could have with God. And that's the relationship that you and I have. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians. God's not embarrassed to help us. God's not too great that he looks at us and says, I can't talk to you. You have needs. No. He's the God who is a father. And a good earthly father doesn't look at his kid and say, how'd you turn out so bad? But tries to help, right? How is God with us? The greatest of any earthly father is still nothing compared to the way God is as a father. And we who are fathers, the one thing that's our responsibility is to help our children to see that relationship of God as their father. We help to supply the needs of our family So they also, those kids, when they grow up, can look to God to be the supplier of their needs. The one who loves them. The one who's looking out and counting the hairs on their head so that they also could have all their needs met. And then they can take care of their families the same way. Chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's who we have. That's who we have. That's the relationship that God wants with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, this is a lot of places. We're not going to look at all 1,000 places that God, it's 998, actually, I think, places. Chapter 6 and look at verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This he's referring to a prophecy of that which was to come. That's what God is to us, a father unto us. He's a father. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Here's a beautiful one. Here are these Judean people, and for the most part, and they had a relationship as Judeans before Jesus Christ came, and they had a certain relationship with God. It was one of servitude. They were called God's servants. And here in Galatians, he is explaining how that relationship has changed because of the coming of Jesus Christ. We can't read all of Galatians, but we're going to read some of chapter 4. Verse 1, now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. You know, if it's a little baby, you're not going to make him king. You know, you're probably going to have some people helping him out, right? Until he's old enough. Verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, you know, the rules of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Again, adoption there is that word for sonship. It's sad that they use adoption in the King James because it makes us think that we're adopted, not truly sons. You and I are truly sons of God. With that gift of Holy Spirit, we have the seed of God in us. It's not adoption, it's sonship. It's actually being children of God. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. How clear he makes it. Even those Judeans which believed, which now were sons of God by way of his gift of Holy Spirit, they could still be thinking of themselves as servants. And he's saying here so clearly, it's no longer a relationship of servant. You know, we as God's children serve him, but we don't do it because we're only servants. We serve him because we are sons and we serve out of love. That's the way it works. And that's what we have. We go to God as Abba, Father. Father, oh my Father. A relationship that those Judeans never would have thought possible. Never would have thought that they could approach God in such a personal way. But here it is. Jesus Christ made it available, and it's what we have. 1 John chapter 1. You notice we're getting toward the end of the Bible? 1 John chapter 1. And of course, the epistle of John does an amazing job of showing us that incredible relationship that we have with God as his children and how we can walk as children. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, a full sharing with us, he's saying. Okay, that's believers, right? But then he goes on to say, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a fellowship. It's a sharing. It's a sharing of God sharing with us and of us sharing with God. Just as we as believers share with each other as the family of God. Of course we do. And we have God as our Father sharing with us. And we're going to end in chapter 3 here. 1 John chapter 3. In the Old Testament, the best they knew was Jehovah. The best that they knew in terms of a close relationship with God was Jehovah. And even though God called them sons, they actually were adopted sons. Because of God's covenant with Abraham, he had set apart the children of Israel for himself. And he acted to them as a father to sons. But they were not truly sons. Jesus Christ then came along and declared the Father, not just God, but the Father, and the close relationship that he showed that he had with the Heavenly Father, which included manifesting his power on the earth. And then what he made available by the gift of Holy Spirit to us today, that we can say, just like Jesus did, Father, oh my Father. We have a relationship with God that was unthinkable in the Old Testament. So it says in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love, verse 1, the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. That's the relationship we have right this minute. Not when we die, not sometime in the great by and by, but right now, as living here in this here darn world, we have a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. Now, that's a good Father's Day, to recognize him. Let's let him act as a father to us. Let's treat him as he says he is. Our Heavenly Father, that we can lay before him any single thing that's on our heart. And then let's allow God, who knows our every need before we even ask, to give us what he wants to give us, to bless us, to meet our needs. And then we have this relationship, which God calls fellowship. What a life we have with our Heavenly Father. Well, thanks, Father. That is why we call you that. Because you are our Heavenly Father, and you love us so much, your word says we can't even imagine it. But Father, I just thank you for what we have and what you've done in Christ, that he was obedient to you as a son, and because of his accomplishments and what you worked in him, that we can have what we have today. Thanks, Father, that we come before you with lots of needs, with lots of problems. We've got issues. But you're our Heavenly Father who knows our every need before we even ask. And thanks for how you do care for us and love us. And Father, for giving us your word that explains how wonderful and kind and gracious that you always are. Well, also thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. I thank you for our giving and our abundant sharing. I thank you for the healing that's available to us as believers, and Father, we claim those things that you've so freely made available to us in Christ. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as believers, while we're together, if you have a need, if you need to be prayed for, if you need some of God's word, talk to one of God's people here today, okay? We have the Spirit of God in Christ in us, and we can help each other.